Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Church. My name's Eric, and I'm the lead pastor here with my wife, Rachel, who is leading us on keys and worship. And just want to say welcome, everyone watching at home online. Several of you saying you're on vacation, text me you're watching. So we want to say welcome. So glad. Let's all welcome everyone watching at home or online. Just say so glad you're joining us virtually. Our 11 a.m. service is the one that's always live streamed. So if you ever miss a Sunday, or if you're just joining us at Freedom Church and you missed the last two, you can always go to our website or YouTube and look us up, Freedom Church Murraysville. You can find us on there and watch previous messages, previous worship times as well, because we want to keep you connected and informed what God is doing through Freedom Church. So for those of you who haven't met me yet, I want to get to meet you, I want to talk to you, I want to get to know you, but we at Freedom Church, I want to share, as I have been the last 2 weeks, that this is our third Sunday. In the last 2 weeks, I've been sharing a little bit about the church, about myself. Last week, my wife Rachel actually shared part of her testimony, which was very powerful, of God's redemptive work and rescuing power for her, and all that she's been able to do since then. But Freedom Church, when it comes to our church as an organization, I'm going to take a few minutes and just share about who are we, who's Freedom Church, and how are we structured, and what you can maybe expect as being a part of Freedom Church. Freedom Church is a life-giving church where we help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make an impact. In the last 2 weeks, we've really talked about how important it is to know God and how to find freedom. Because in order to find freedom, discover purpose, and make an impact, it starts with knowing God. Not just knowing about God, but having a real and personal relationship with Him. So that's going to be the most important thing. That's something we bring up every single week, is knowing God. How are we learning about God? How are we learning to grow in our relationship with God, or beginning that relationship with Him? That's going to be number one all the time. But finding freedom, it's literally in our name. We want to help you live a life of freedom in Christ. And not just so that you can live free, but so you can help other people get set free as well. The goal of freedom is not just for us to receive, but for us to give away, for us to help other people experience what we've experienced in that freedom in Christ. Today, we're going to talk all about discovering purpose. What is purpose? Why do we know what our purpose is? And diving into understanding how important it is to know our purpose, our God-given purpose. Next week, we're going to have make an impact. How many of you want to make an impact? You want to make a difference in people's lives, right? And for the glory of God, ultimately, next week you're going to learn all about how do we make an impact and why is that so important. Just a little bit more about Freedom Church as well. As you know, we are non-denominational, meaning we stick to the Bible. We don't have a hierarchy or bureaucracy of different places around the country or the world telling us necessarily how to be a church. I say this is our instruction manual. This is our authority. This is our highest authority, the Word of God. And Jesus is our highest authority. Now, we have overseers. We have other senior pastors who've been doing ministry for many decades. They're there for support. They're there for care. They're there to help in times of need. So we're not here all on our own, but we're connected with other churches. We're working with other churches. Just had lunch this week with five other pastors right here in Murraysville, surrounding churches. How do we work together is really what we're talking about. Sharing resources, sharing just this. We all have the same heart to build the kingdom of God. For the tens of thousands of people that we know are not living a life of freedom in Christ, we want to work together. And that's something that I believe is so powerful, that God commands a blessing when it's not just about what we do or how many people we get to come to our church, but how many people are we really getting into the kingdom of God? How many people are we pointing to live that life of freedom, not just for any one of our churches, but together, collectively, the church of God? That's what we're in the business of, building and advancing His kingdom. Internally as well, structure, we have a board of trustees that oversees the finances. I think it's very important to make sure the finances are being stewarded well, that we're very wise with how we spend money, with how we resource and use resources. And there's a whole board of people, men specifically, who are leading and making those decisions on how we set the budget, how we spend money, to make sure we're using it wisely and according to what God would have. So just a little bit of structure. If you want to learn more about that, I invite you to come to Next Steps. Next Steps is going to be right after we dismiss today. If you go out those back doors through our cafe into our youth room, we're going to be gathering in the youth room for about an hour from 12:30 to 1:30 There is lunch provided. There's childcare as well. You just have to come talk to me, go to the youth room and just say, I'm here for next steps, and somebody will direct you to how to get to everything. But I want you to invite you to come be a part of next steps. You'll hear a little bit more about that, of upcoming dates and opportunities for when you could be there. Also, just one of the values that I want to mention today, as I'm sharing a little bit each week, is authentic community. I believe having authentic community is so important and so core to who we are as Freedom Church. You can have a lot of community in different places. You can have a community at the gym. You can have a community at work. You can have a community at different places. But in the church, and unfortunately many times at church, we put on this Sunday morning face. We think we're perfect. We want everyone to think everything's good, right? When somebody says, how are you doing? You say, good. How are you doing? Fine. How are you doing? Everything's good. And there's time for that, but there's also time, like, we want to have authentic community where we are just real people. It's exhausting pretending to be one person and trying to be somebody else, and you're trying to keep it all together. Remember what you told one person, what you told somebody else. Let's just be real. Authentic community is something. So authentic is first and foremost a decision we all have to make, to choose to be real, to choose to be transparent, to be authentic. But then community is where we're not meant to do life alone. We're meant to be gathered together. We're meant to be a part of the body of Christ, united together, functioning together, doing life together. So there's opportunities for you to be here on Sundays, but there's also opportunities throughout the week with groups. So we have Bible study groups throughout the week. There's a few of them available. You can go to our website, click the Get Involved tab. You can find out more information on that website as well. We want to get you connected to the community of God, to not just have more stuff to do, but have more people to do life with. Good, godly influencers, right? Just another culture thing. We call this room the auditorium. A lot of churches call it a sanctuary, and that's fine. But ultimately, we are not, the building is not super special. It's not holy. I believe the Bible says you are holy, that we are holy when the Spirit of God dwells within us, that the church isn't just the building, it's the people who come. So when you're not here, this is just a church building. When you're here, the church is here, because you are the church. You are the people of God that God has given his Spirit to. So we welcome you to bring coffee and tea and biscotti and things into this room, because it's not the room that's holy. You are holy because God is holy. So if you haven't experienced it yet, there is coffee, tea, and biscotti that are free, always free. We just want to bless you. We want to be a light part of that life-giving. Just give things away. It's not to take away the reverence and the fear of God, though. You know, many times it's the room is what we revere because it's God's presence, but ultimately we revere God because he's always around us. That's why during worship time, we think it's very important that we're not chatting and hanging out outside the room, but we're in the room, gathered together to worship God together, to hear the word of God together, and we put those things as a high priority. That's why we don't sell t-shirts and serve coffee and those things during worship, because we believe everybody should be hearing the word and worshiping him together. And just so if you haven't noticed, there are t-shirts and crew necks, things for sale in the cafe. All that money that we make off of that goes right into kids ministry and youth ministry. We're not in the profit-making business, but we're in the ministry business. So when you buy a shirt, there is money we make on that. We put it right into kids ministry, right into youth ministry, to keep the kingdom of God advancing forward. So just a couple little things there to share with you. I'll be sharing more in next steps and also next week and beyond. So keep coming. Let me pray, and then we'll jump into today's message. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that we can gather together. God, I thank you that we have power. God, that we have internet. God, that we can be in this place worshiping you, hearing your word. God, I pray that your Spirit would speak through me. God, that you'd speak not only to every person here listening in the room, but God, to all those watching and listening online. God, that your Spirit would speak to them right where they are. God, that it would be your grace, your anointing that's upon the words that I speak. God, that your word would be alive to each and every one of us. Help us hear from you to know our next steps and to identify and discover the purpose that you've given each and every one of us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How many of you, just show of hands, I like participation. How many of you have a junk drawer at home? Anybody have a junk drawer? Some of my junk's falling out of the bag here. How many of you have a junk closet? A junk attic, a junk basement, maybe a junk garage. Look at that, more stuff, right? Many of you have a garage. You know you're supposed to be able to park cars in those garages, but many of us have so much stuff, we can't even fit the car in the garage. Well, I brought some junk from my junk drawer. I was just looking through. I'm like, where are these all these parts from? You know, and I realized it's when we bought some furniture, and they give you those extra parts. You ever put IKEA furniture or any furniture together? And they give you all these extra parts, and you should probably just throw them away. But what do we all do instead? I'll hold on to it, right? I might need this someday. And this is probably from a couple years ago. This is from last year. I actually don't know what this is, but it was in the junk drawer. If anybody's missing it, please let me know. We hold on to so many of these things, right? We're missing. We have all these extra parts just in case we need them. And just like we, most of us have a junk drawer or a junk closet, or we have so much extra stuff, we have a lot of extra stuff in life, right? We have a lot of stuff on our schedule. We have a lot of stuff going on with our children or in our lives or in work or at home. And many of us have a lot of extra things going on in life. But also many of us have something that we feel is missing in life, right? We know there's all this good going on. Maybe your life is going pretty well, but maybe there's just something missing inside of you. It's like if you've ever put a piece of furniture together and you're missing a part, you very much notice that, right? You notice when you have a four-legged table and it only has three legs. Like, it kind of works, it kind of stands, but it's missing something very important. Purpose is that thing that's missing, and I believe many of us. We're missing the purpose. We're missing the meaning of life. We're missing the big picture that God has for us. And we're okay. We're standing on three legs, and things seem to be okay. We're working. We're functioning. We may even have some extra parts in our lives, but we're missing something that's so important. And even if you know your purpose, or maybe you're living it, you understand it, there's something more about really being more intentional with our purpose. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He doesn't say trust in the Lord with some of your heart, trust in the Lord a little bit on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, he doesn't say don't think at all, right? A lot of people accuse Christians of like, oh, that's just faith, and you never have to think. No, God actually has given us intellect and intelligence and minds, and such beautiful, intelligent minds to be able to see, discern, make decisions. He's saying don't depend on your own understanding only. When things don't make sense, we're often relying on our own understanding. He says, instead, seek his will in all you do. Seek God's will. Because the Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So if we only seek to understand in our own ability, we're always going to fall short and be less than God's will for our lives. And when we seek his will, he shows us which path to take. Many times we flip that. We say, God, tell me which path to take. God, tell me which road to go. Which job should I take? Which house should I buy? Which person should I marry? And we're seeking the path to take. And he says, seek my will first. Not in what maybe makes sense in the natural, but what is God's will for you and for your life? Because the reality is we were created on purpose and for purpose. You were created for a purpose. So to give a definition of the word purpose, it means the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. There's a reason you were created. There's a purpose that you have on this planet. That you were created by God and for God. That you exist to accomplish the work that God has given you. But not just to live and do and be all these things, but to truly know God. It's a setting forth. Another translation that couples right along with it is a setting forth. It implies a plan or resolution designed ahead of time. Do you know that nothing God does is by accident? That God is very intentional. God knows he's made this plan, this resolution designed ahead of time. He's not wondering what's going to happen so he can make his next move. God already knows. God already sees that there is nothing that happens that surprises God, right? We get surprised. We open our Facebook feed or Instagram or we look on the news and we're shocked by what we see in the world. God's not shocked. God's not up in heaven worried and anxious, wondering what he should do. He already knows. God has this plan, this resolution, this purpose that's set before him, that he has set this plan in place. It's us realizing we need to discover our purpose that God has given us. God knows what he's doing. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1 verses 27 and 28, it says, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Talking about Adam and Eve, the first people on the planet. God created mankind. God created you. God is the author and the creator of life. That you are not an accident. God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you. Do you realize that? That maybe you've been told that you are an accident, or you are an oops, or you are an unplanned pregnancy. There is no such thing as an unplanned pregnancy, only unplanned and unprepared parents. God knows what he's doing. God is the creator of life. We think it's all us. It's actually God who creates life. It's only through Jesus that all things can be created. John chapter 1. That it's really not up to us. It's up to God creates us. That you are here on purpose and for a purpose. Another thing about Freedom Church is we're unapologetically a pro-life church. Meaning that we believe that life begins at conception. Why do we believe that? The Bible says it, yes, but science says that. Biology says that. Common sense says that. And we believe protecting the most vulnerable people is a high priority. So yes, pro-life has become political, but it's a biblical, spiritual issue first. We are unashamedly, unapologetically pro-life. That also means pro-mom, pro-family, pro-health, pro-family, pro-helping the family. Not just keeping babies alive, but helping people along. We're connected with many ministries and other things that we're going to talk about over the next several weeks as well. But I want to help you see that it's just because things have become political doesn't mean we're going to stop talking about them, because they're biblical issues first. They're spiritual issues at play. And the enemy wants nothing more than to stop churches from talking about spiritual and biblical issues just because they're a part of the politics or the news. From the very beginning, humanity was created by God. It's his image. We're created in the image of God. You were created to reflect God's image, designed by God for a purpose. And it's interesting how God says to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Now, in that context, it was literally to populate the earth. They had to make kids. They had to repopulate the earth so they could govern the earth. But we see in John chapter 15, Jesus, he's talking about being fruitful, but he's not talking about having a bunch of children, which I think is a good idea. We're on number 4, so I'm like, a couple more, maybe. Keep going. Next subject, be fruitful and multiply. It's a command that God has given his people. And Jesus here in John 15, he explains it in a new way. He explains this, and actually understanding the disciples who he was talking to at this time, this is right at going into the Last Supper, he washes the disciples' feet. I mean, what kind of king does that? As Rachel read earlier during worship, that Philippians 2, that he left heaven and died a humble death on the cross. That's Jesus. The one who washed his disciples' feet, washed the feet of Judas who's about to betray him. And here he is explaining and teaching. He's giving this farewell discourse. He's teaching his disciples, leaving as much as he can with them. He says, I am the true grapevine. He calls himself the true grapevine because there was a false grapevine. There are false gods. There are false things that people try to cling to and think are going to sustain them, going to give them life, when Jesus is the only one who truly gives you true life. The only one who gives you true freedom. He says, my Father, God in heaven, is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Right, he cuts off, just like if any of you garden or you've known of gardening, you cut off the dead branches. You cut off the ones that are not producing fruit or not blooming so that there's more life and more sustenance and more room for the ones that do bear fruit. And this word he uses for pruning is actually like a clearing or a cleaning up of. It's not a removing. Pruning, though, it's when you snip the branches, you cut them back. I imagine when we would get pruned, it doesn't feel good, right? Like cutting off part of us doesn't feel good, but it's what's in our best interest. God has your best interest in mind. He wants what's best for you. So at times, he's going to prune some things. He's going to remove some things that don't feel good, that maybe hurt a little bit. And many times, it's people who are doing all the things right. You're going to church. You're really trying to not swear so much. You're really trying to be good at work. You're doing as best as you can. You're, God, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to live right. Why do bad things keep happening? It could be God's pruning you. He's strengthening in you. He's creating a deeper ability to have perseverance when more trials and more things come because he wants you to bear more fruit. Jesus says in verse 3, you've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. You've already been pruned. He was making sure the disciples knew, hey guys, you've already been cleansed by my word. You've already been cleansed by the message that I've given you. It's not about produce fruit and then something happens. He says, no, you've already been saved. You've already been forgiven. My mercy and my grace is enough. You've already been cleansed of your sin. Now you should be producing fruit as a result. Not flipping it the other way around. That our purpose is found in abiding in Christ. And Jesus says this how in verse 4. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How do we produce fruit? We simply remain in Jesus. We stay in relationship. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more we know him, the more we spend time with him, then the fruit is produced. But so often we flip that and say, if I would just be able to produce fruit, then God would be close to me. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, he says, you are the branches. He is the vine. What is the vine? The vine is the life source. The vine is where all the nutrients and sustenance comes to the branches. All we have to do is stay connected to the vine. And as a result, the branches don't necessarily produce the fruit. The vine produces them through the branches. How do we do that? What's the best way that you can stay connected to the vine? It's by reading this. Reading the word of God. It's his words to us. It's God speaking to us, the creator of the universe, the one who knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knows you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you the truth in love. And his words are right here. He speaks to us. Some of this is history. Some of this is our lessons that we can learn that are good advice and wisdom. But ultimately, this is a letter to God's people through history over thousands of years that is for us today to read, to learn, to know the heart of God, to know the character of God, so that we can know him in a real and personal way. That's how we can know Jesus. And Jesus even says, he goes, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of Jesus' teachings. Well, if we've never read Jesus' teachings, there's nothing for him to remind us of. So we have to be reading the word. If you don't have a Bible, please do not leave here without a Bible in your hands. We will give you one. We will get you one. We will send you one. Come find us. Come talk to the Connection Point. Talk to me. Say, I would love a Bible. We will get you one. And if you've never read the Bible, one of the best places I always tell people is in the New Testament. So there's the Old Testament, the New Testament. The New Testament, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four Gospels. They're writing about the good news of Jesus. And that you hear all of Jesus' teachings and his words. And you see how he lived and the miracles and how he treated people. Learn about Jesus, then go get into everything else in the Bible. It's all good, but I always recommend start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're like, I really need, just tell me which page. John chapter 1. Just start there and start reading. And get help. Ask for help. Go to a group. We want you to know God, to remain in him, and for him to remain in us. The best way to do it is by reading the word of God, by studying the Bible, learning the Bible, reading the Bible. Secondly, through worship. I believe worship is a great way to get our focus on God, how big he is, how great he is. Your problems, as big as they are nothing in comparison to how big God is. And when we remind and sing to ourselves about how big God is, and we sing to God, we worship him, he changes and renews our minds. He actually shifts our focus off of all the stuff going on in the world and back onto him. And it's so helpful when he inhabits our praises and our worship to him. Another way is just being around people, other Christians, not just your friend, not just people outside the church or who aren't Christians, but being around Christians, being around other like-minded people is a great way to hear and learn from each other about who God is. So how do we abide in him? Primarily the word. We do it through worshiping. We do it through others as well. So the best questions to ask are, do I really know God? Or do I just know about God? Do you really know God? And if you don't, begin to learn about him. Begin to know him in a real and personal way. Are you close to God? Are you abiding in God? Are you connected to him? Is life flowing through you? Or are you just consuming a lot of things around you? Most of us, we live in a consumer culture with Instagram and social media and all this stuff. We consume. But life is supposed to flow through us. Again, the vine through the branches to produce fruit and to others. The thing with purpose, and purpose in itself in the New Testament, primarily means that reason or that something exists. In the Old Testament, there's this explanation, this description of the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the dwelling place of God. The dwelling place of God where his physical presence was in the holy place and the holy of holies. And there was this bread that was set out. That was always to be set out, constantly set out before God, representing his presence, but also representing our lives that are supposed to be presented before God. So that same exact word in the Old Testament as the New Testament, that meaning of our purpose, that setting forth, it applies to our lives. That your purpose is to live your life before God, presented to God, to you be used by God and be aligned by God as well. So John, he says, Jesus gives this explanation of being connected to him, this fruit that's produced in us. But purpose always requires sacrifice. You realize that, that bread, the show bread, or living our lives before God, it's going to cost us something. There's going to be a sacrifice that Jesus himself modeled this. Jesus, the creator of the universe, God himself, he modeled a sacrifice and surrender. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's about to be crucified. He's being betrayed by Judas. He's about to be arrested. Jesus goes to the garden. He has James, John, and Peter with him, three of his disciples. And the Bible actually records it in three different of the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that talk about Jesus weeping and sweating drops of blood. His body is physically agonizing so much that he's sweating drops of blood out. That he's praying in his humanity, he's praying to God. He says, God, if there's any way this cup of suffering could pass from me, if there's any way I don't have to go to the cross, I don't have to be beaten and tortured and nailed to a wooden cross. God, if there's any way this could pass and you could do it some other way, would you make it happen? But then he says, not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Jesus still said yes to the most horrible experience that any of us could imagine in our natural lives, let alone the spiritual weight of the sins of the world being put on him. Jesus said, not my will, but yours. Both fully God and fully man, he prayed this prayer that models for each and every one of us that our purpose is not to build our kingdom, but to build God's kingdom. That Jesus himself did not exist for his own kingdom, but for the kingdom of God the Father. But the world would say, follow your dreams, follow your heart, follow your desires, build your life and you do you. Instead of saying, my life is not my own. That we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for something greater and bigger than ourselves. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says it this way. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. That if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've surrendered your life to God. You've said, God, I surrender, I give up ownership. You paid for me, I belong to you now. That's what it means to surrender your life. That's what it means when you purchase something, you pay a price, it belongs to you. God purchased us by paying the blood of Jesus. He purchased us. He bought us with the most valuable thing that we could even imagine, the blood of his own son. That's how valuable you are. That's how important you are to God, not to make yourself bigger, but to realize God's love for you is so much greater than you imagine. You know, with three kids and four on the way, I don't necessarily have a purpose for my kids other than to love them and be in relationship with them. Like, I don't determine what my kids are going to grow up and become someday. The purpose that we have children is to have a relationship with them, to love them, to grow them, to become men and women of God someday. That's the only purpose I have, is that they would be men and women of God in their own lives. But ultimately, it's to spend time with them. It's to love them. God's purpose for creating each of us is to spend time with us, to love us, to have that relationship with us. Beyond all the stuff that we can do for God, it starts with that relationship with God. His love for you. He wants to spend time with you. He bought you with a price, and he wants to have that relationship. God's purpose for your life will always be better than the plans that you create on your own. I had a lot of my own thoughts. I had a lot of my own plans as a young adult. I had these plans of real estate and business and making tons of money, and I started achieving and accomplishing all those things. I thought I was doing awesome, and I was, according to the world standards, having money, having houses, having business, and I thought, look at me. But yet, inside, I was so empty. I was dead inside. I was missing real purpose, a God-given purpose. I was living for me, and my world was that small. My world is wrapped up in me, myself, and I, and my purpose stopped there. But then when God got a hold of me, when God revealed himself, when I began to know God, I began to find freedom, and then I discovered my purpose is not to live for me, but it's so much bigger than my life. God's purpose is so much greater than what I can do, but what God could do through me, that God could use me in my life to do something impactful and impactful to other people's lives. That's when everything changes. That's when you realize that your life is meant to be used for the kingdom of God first and foremost. It changes how you live. It changes the joy that you don't get out of bed going, "Ugh, gotta go to work. Ugh, gotta do this." You get up and go, "What can I get into today? Like, God, what are we gonna do? We're gonna go to the gym? Let's go. We're gonna go to work? Let's go. I bet there's lost people there. I bet somebody needs prayer today. I bet I could just love some. Maybe I could smile and ask somebody how they're doing and put a smile on their face." Like, when you have a purpose inside of you, it drives you. It fuels you. It's not a, "I have to do this." It's, "I get to do this. I get to impact people's lives." I've heard people talk about pastoring and ministry as it's like the worst job on the planet. It's the most stressful job. You have to be crazy to do it. And I say, it's the most enjoyable, life-giving job on the planet. I get to help people. I get to love people. I get to care for people. Some of them on their deathbed, I get to pray for them. I get to help parents. I get to help people who are just looking and trying to find the meaning of life. We get to celebrate births, and we get to help people when the family members are dying. Like, it's the greatest job on the planet to impact people's lives for eternity. And it's not just me as a pastor. You have that ability. God calls you ministers. In Ephesians 4, he says, you are the ministers. You are the church. You are the saints who are to do the work of the ministry. I'm just going to lead you and tell you how to get there and how to do it. Because ultimately, together, it takes all of us, right? We need all of the pieces. Maybe it's not purpose you're missing, but maybe you're missing where your purpose fits. Maybe you're the leg of that table that's shaky on three, and you're the fourth leg. Maybe you're the bolt that's missing. Maybe you're the part you think, "I'm not a big deal. I'm just a bolt. I'm just a nut. I'm just a washer. I'm just this." But those little parts add together to make up the whole, to function exactly how it's supposed to function. In 1 Corinthians 12, it's not up on the screen. I just wanted to share it about. It talks about how we're one body with many parts, right? All of the parts together are important. You are important. Your role is important. Your gifting is important. The things that God has put inside of you are very important. That you're not here by accident. You're here on purpose, for a purpose. You're supposed to be using your life and giving your life for a purpose to build the kingdom of God. I'm not just talking about Freedom Church. I'm talking about the kingdom of God, the big picture that every single one of us has a place to play and a place to fit into the body of Christ. Jesus said the one thing he would build is his church. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, if you realize, he used the word gates. The gates are actually a defensive mechanism, something you can't get through. So it's not that we have to fear evil or death or bad things coming against us. No, it's actually, he's saying, I'm going to build my church and the defenses of hell will not be able to stop. The defenses of the realm of the dead will not be able to stop the advancement of Jesus' church. His kingdom will advance no matter what we do or don't do. He's going to advance his kingdom. We simply have to say, Jesus, use us. Would you use us to advance your kingdom? It's the one thing Jesus said he would build. And it's the one thing Jesus is coming back for, his church, his bride, his body of believers. I want to make sure I'm a functioning part of the body, not just sitting back waiting for him to come back, but to be active in the body, functioning as the body. Just as we want all parts of our bodies to be functioning and healthy, Jesus does likewise. He wants our bodies to be, in our lives to be lived on purpose with intentionality. So instead of asking, what's in this life for me? We ask, God, how can my life be used by you? God, use me. God, not my will, but yours be done. God, not my desires, but your desires. God, I know it's going to be hard, but God, I want to live for something beyond just this life. I don't know if you know this or not, but time is limited. Time is finite to each of us. Now, we're eternal beings, but ultimately, we live in a finite world. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 90, verse 12, says, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, God, to realize that our lives are temporary. We just have moments that I'm not wanting to cause fear or anxiety, but to help you realize that someday we're all going to die. Someday we're all going to pass from this life. Someday we're all going to be buried or cremated. We're going to be put in the ground. We get a plaque or a tombstone that looks something like this picture. Where you have a year of your birth, a year of your death, and what's that thing in the middle? Just a little dash. That dash represents so much. Your first words, your first steps, your first day of school, your relationships, your marriage, your children, your house, your car. It represents all of your experiences, your victories and your struggles. Everything you experience in your entire lifetime is summarized in the dash on a tombstone. If you're really lucky, you get like a paragraph or two in your obituary. Our entire lives, like, the reality is nobody's really talking about us in 10, 20, certainly not 50 years later. The only thing that matters are the things that we do for eternity, the things we do for the kingdom of God, the things we do for Christ, for his name to be known, not our name to be known. We're going to be buried in the ground and nobody's talking about us. But that dash, what does that dash represent? Of everything we experience, is it worth it just for the dash? Or is there something so much greater? A greater purpose, a greater reason that we're here on the planet. We live our lives not just drifting through life, not just waiting for someday. Someday I'll follow God seriously. Someday I'll live on purpose. Someday I'll start to be serious with my faith. Someday turns into years, years turn into a lifetime, yet God has not created you to drift through life. God has created you to be intentional, to be on purpose, to live with purpose, to wake up every day excited about what God's going to do through you today. I believe some of you are here today and you say, I need to make today the day that I surrender my life to Jesus. Today's your day, March 15th, 2026. You need to say, God, I'm done living for me. I'm done living for my life and my desires and my dreams. God, I want your will to be done in my life. You need to make that decision to say, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. And now he becomes Lord. He calls the shots. He tells you what to do. He gives you that direction, not depending on your own understanding, but seeking his will, and he shows you which path to take, abiding in that relationship with him. And I believe others of you, you're drifting. You know God. You have a relationship with him, but you're drifting. You're not really intentional with your life. You don't know your purpose. You don't know your direction. And you're asking the question, God, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? What is my purpose? It could be love your spouse, love your kids, steward the resources God has given you. It doesn't have to be these big, crazy, audacious things. But for most of us, it's be a good, faithful steward of what God's already given you. But I know there's more for each of you. I know there's more purpose. I know there's more direction for each and every one of your lives to be used, but for the kingdom of God, for his church to be built, for his kingdom to advance. Here in Murraysville and Franklin Regional School District and the surrounding communities, I believe God wants to use each and every one of you. Whether you believe it or you feel qualified or not, God says you're qualified. God says, I've given you gifts. I've given you abilities. I've given you things to use for his kingdom, for his purposes. So I invite, if you could stand to your feet. I invite every one of us to take a moment. Even everyone listening online, if you just ask God this question. God, what do you want my dash to represent? What do you want my life to represent? What do you want my life to mean? What's going to show for all of our experiences, all of our decisions, everything we do? God, what is it going to actually result in? And let him speak to you. Let him tell you your purpose that's ultimately his purpose. And I invite every one of us in this room right now, if you're here and you say, I want more clarity. I want more to know God. I need to know God's purpose for my life. I want to pray for you. Maybe it starts with making that decision. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Maybe you say, I just need more clarity. I want more direction. God, I want to know you more. Whatever scenario it is for you, wherever you're at, I just want to pray for you. So if you say that's you, I say, I want to know you more, God. I want to know my purpose more. God, I need more intentionality in my life. I invite you just to open up your hands. This is a sign of receiving something from God. I believe he wants to speak to you. He wants to share with you your purpose, and I'm going to pray a blessing on you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for who you are. God, we thank you that you modeled for us how to live a life on purpose and for purpose. That Jesus, you, as the ultimate example, were so intentionally focused on fixating on the cross, fixating on what you did for each and every one of us, that you lived your life on purpose. You lived your life with intentionality, that you did not get distracted. You did not get swayed by the temptations of the world or Satan himself, but you stayed focused on the mission at hand, advancing your kingdom, building your church. God, you used your life, you gave your life so that we could be set free. God, I pray for each and every person in this room. God, that those that need to make that decision to surrender their life to you, that they would make that decision. That God, you would draw them to yourself. God, that you would show them how it's not how good they are, but God, it's all about how good you are. That you've already done the work by dying on the cross, being buried and raising back to life 3 days later, that we can truly be set free. God, I pray for every person who's just looking for their purpose. God, to make it so crystal clear to them. God, I pray you'd speak to them. God, you'd show them as they seek to abide in you, as they seek your will, God, that you would abide in them, that you would lead them and show them which path to take. That God, they would not be left to their own understanding, but your Spirit who dwells within us would show us how we can give, how we can serve, how we can be used by you to build your church and advance your kingdom. Use us, God. If every single person in this room is willing and says yes and amen to you, Lord, I pray you'd bless each and every one of us. God, you do something so magnificent in this region, that Franklin Regional School District would be completely transformed for your glory and for your honor. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you could be seated. And Jared is our youth ministry leader. He's going to come up and share a few more things. I just want to invite you, if you made that decision, you say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus, you can take your phone, hold it to the tap card on the seat back in front of you, or scan that QR code. That's also how you can fill out our connection card. But on there's a spot that says, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Fill that out, because we want to help you take your next steps with God. We want to help you understand what you should do now that you made the most important decision you've ever made. So we want to keep you connected to that. Jared, come on up, close us out.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric. Could we give Pastor Eric a hand for the word shared? It's very, very impactful, very powerful, really, to think about that we're here for an eternal purpose. And, you know, speaking of eternal purpose, we are actually going to shift into a time of giving as an act of worship to the Lord. And there's a really beautiful picture that I often think about based on what Jesus had shared with his disciples in John chapter 14, really rooted and tied into eternal purpose. In John 14, verse 2, Jesus says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And such a fascinating thing to think about, that Jesus, the King of the universe, says to his disciples, hey, I'm going to go build a home for you. There is more than enough room in my Father's house in heaven, and you have a purpose and a seat with me in eternity in my rooms. And what's so fascinating and amazing is that Jesus invites us and calls us as his followers to participate in him building and expanding eternal real estate in heaven. That whenever we give of our lives, whenever we fulfill the purpose that God has for us, or we give financially and partner so that the purposes of God can be fulfilled, we are literally funding eternal real estate. We are literally giving Jesus a motivation and an opportunity for more people to know him, to experience him in a real and transformational way. So every dollar that we give to make an impact in the kingdom of God, Jesus then in turn says, oh, we got another room. Another one crossed the bridge. Another one in eternal life. Oh, there's a kid up in Franklin Regional. He's waiting to hear the gospel. When he gets to hear the gospel and we get to partner in giving to that opportunity, we give Jesus motivation and resource to build more rooms in eternity, and we get to be a part. So whenever we have the opportunity to give to the kingdom of God, I want you to really keep in mind John 14, 2, that Jesus says there is more than enough rooms, and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And we together get to give to be a part of him preparing a place for so many more people. How exciting is that? You guys know that you're a part of building eternal real estate. It's phenomenal. And so I'm just grateful this morning that we have an opportunity to give, and because of the faithful giving of so many people already in this room, a lot of real estate's been built. But there's more to be had. There's several ways to give. You can scan a QR code to give online. In the back of the room on the wall, there's also a box for cash or checks. If your bank provides Zelle, you can give through Zelle. There's so many different ways that we can give, but really what's important is the why and the eternal purpose behind why we're giving and what we're truly giving to. Let's pray and believe God big for our investment to make an eternal impact. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, that we get to be a part of your expansion of eternal real estate, that you, Jesus, you promise you'll build your church, you will expand your kingdom, and you choose to partner with us through your Holy Spirit, through your word, to make an eternal impact, that we all have purpose. And Father, I ask you help us to give today with fresh eyes of faith, knowing you're our provider, and that you invite us to partner with you in expanding your kingdom. And Lord, I thank you that everything we give is going to make such an enormous impact, Lord, that we'll get to see all the eternal real estate that we get to be a part of giving to. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're with us here this morning and it's your very first time, or perhaps you just haven't gotten a chance to fill out a connection card, we would love to keep in touch with you and keep you up to date with all the amazing things happening here at Freedom Church. I just encourage you to pull out your phone, scan a tap card on the back of the seat, or you could scan the QR code there. Just leave some information for us. for a way for us to keep you up to date with so many awesome things happening here and what God is doing through our church. Also encourage you, if it's your first time and you haven't, on the way out of the room, we have Miss Charlene in the back, sitting with some gifts that she wants to give to you, just as our way of saying thank you for being with us here this morning as well. And, you know, speaking of being a part, if you would like to become an active and growing part of Freedom Church, we want you to know that God has uniquely gifted you and given you a God-given purpose. And also learn more about the church, why God has put us here. As Pastor Eric mentioned, Next Steps is taking place. Immediately following dismissal, out the hallway to the left past the cafe, back in the student room, we would love to get to know you and help you understand where your part fits in the body here, as well as we do have food, lunch, childcare provided. So a great, great time for us to spend together. Another amazing celebration we have coming up is water baptisms on Sunday, March 22nd. For those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus, believed and received him to be our Lord, our leader, our Savior, a great next step to grow in your relationship with him is to declare that with your church family by water baptism. Maybe you've never been water baptized and you would like to take that next step. It's also a great opportunity to get signed up to be water baptized March 22nd. It's a great party and celebration we take with one another. Such a phenomenal time to celebrate what the Lord is doing in and through our lives here at our church body. And last but certainly not least, we have, how many of you guys know Easter is right around the corner? It blew me away knowing that Easter's like really early April this year. We are going to celebrate on Good Friday. We are going to remember and reflect and celebrate the victory of Jesus' death on the cross on, that would be Friday, April 3rd. April 3rd, 7 p.m. April 3rd, 7 p.m. We'll be here. It's going to be amazing. Invite friends and family. And then a couple days later, the real celebration begins at the Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, here at 9 and 11 a.m. We're going to celebrate the victory of Jesus conquering death, hell, and the grave together. You're not going to want to miss it. Invite as many friends, family, neighbors, coworkers as possible. It's going to be a phenomenal time. If you guys could please stand to your feet. I'm going to pray. Whenever I'm finished, you're dismissed. Father, I thank you so much, God, that you do call us and make us and design us on purpose for a purpose. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that before you created the heavens and the earth, Lord God, that we were a thought in your heart, Lord God, that you wanted us to exist, that you wanted us to be in relationship with you. You wanted us to bear your image, Father. And I ask that we would go out marked with purpose this week, God. Let this week be the beginning of a transformational time in our lives where we discover our purpose and walk in it and share it with others, Father. I thank you we get to be a part of your kingdom expansion, both locally here as well as worldwide. I pray a blessing on every family represented online, Father, that we would go forth knowing that you're with us, that you're for us, and that you empower us with purpose. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great and awesome week, everybody.